Hi, it's Beth. It's February 17th, 2020. This is episode 70. I'm still over 65, and I'm still talking. Pretty soon I'm going to be 66. That's still over 65. I'm never going to change it. This is hard enough. I'll just stay over 65 till I'm 90. So anyway, I am reading this book about Carrie Fisher, who I love. I've read all of her books. I love her. She's so clever. And this one is called Life on the Edge. And I knew this, but for some reason, I don't take all the information that's given to me at the right time. She could sing. And I went on the internet and I found this one clip. It's Laverne and Shirley. It's a Laverne and Shirley clip. And she plays this scene with Laverne, and Hugh Hefner's in it, and they're wearing bunny costumes. And I'll tell you what, she can sing. And she rocked that bunny outfit. I don't know how she could have ever thought she wasn't pretty. And man, she really had the pipes. She just didn't want to use them because she didn't want to be Liza Minnelli. That's what she thought. She didn't want to compete with her parents. But she had a better voice than both of them put together. And Debbie, her mother, talked about it all the time. She just would not do it. Okay, here's another little tidbit. Paul Simon wrote Bridge Over Troubled Water right after JFK died. And those are the details. Everything else you probably know about her. But the reason I'm starting here is because she loved Dorothy Parker. Now, I love Dorothy Parker. Carrie Fisher had no self-esteem. I worship her. So just reading about it and how she thought she was so clever made me want to look into her again. And I've read all Dorothy's books, but I don't know. It just made me feel like, yeah, she was great. And anyway, the Algonquin table, they met 6 days a week. All these people. I mean, I can't imagine the joy in that. Just to go and meet with your friends at lunchtime, drink, have a good time, and just listen to how clever they are. And the coolest thing about Dorothy to me is that, you know, talk about women's liberation or whatever. She broke into the boys' club in the 20s. They thought of her as an equal. She said amazing things. She had the most quotes of any of them. And they called it the vicious circle. It was very competitive. One of them that I love, she said, was repartee is what you wish you said, which is so cool because I always have my comeback like one day later or the middle of that very night, never on time. That's what I like about writing. I give them the repartee. I give them the one-liner. It never really happens in true life, not even for her. So she's known for her bad relationships, her bad jobs, her bad apartments, and how often she got her heart broken. And she did write about love. And they let her. It was like she was girl clever. And she was accepted by the boys. I have three brothers. I think that's amazing. Not that they tolerated her, that they respected her. She was one of them, not the girlfriend. That's just, to me, unbelievable. So, you know, she started at Vogue, of course, that's the only place, with one poem that she sold for $12 to the Vanity Fair, which was a ton of money back then. Anyway, in short order, she went to Vanity Fair. She became friends with Robert Benchley and Robert Sherworth, and they wore signs around their neck every day that displayed their salaries. Boss didn't like it, let it happen. And then she said this thing, that great minds always think alike, though they may tend to disagree. And if there is ever any question, they will all look to me. And it's just so cool. How did she get to be that person with these men back in the 20s? I can't even imagine. You know, and she says, this is how she did it. First thing I do every morning is I brush my teeth and I sharpen my wit, sharpen my tongue. Like, okay, wonder if it was fun. She said it wasn't fun. She died and went to hell every day. But you became their equal. And she said, yes, she did it through word games. Every day they play word games. And one of her famous ones was, somebody said, the definition of horticulture. And she said, you can lead a horse to culture, but you can't. You can lead a horticulture, but you can't make her think. Horticulture. Lead a horticulture, can't make her think. I think that's great. And then she would take her glasses off all the time because men don't make passes at girls who wear glasses. This one, she went too far. She got in a little bit of trouble because somebody said the definition of monogamy. And she said, well, that's a wonderful word. I mean, it's a wonderful word. It's just beautiful. And so the guy goes, no, monogamy. And she goes, I don't know what that means. And he says, one partner. And so then she goes, oh, you mean monotony. So she got in a little trouble with all the wives over that one. And she didn't care. So, of course, she got fired at Vanity Fair for her scathing reviews and a lot of her articles that women didn't appreciate very much. And the last straw was when she panned one of Ziegfeld's shows. The very day she was fired, Benchley and Sherwood, they left in solidarity with her. Can you imagine? They had families. They had lives. And she said that was the greatest act of friendship she had ever known. Well, yeah. It's the greatest act of friendship I've ever heard of either. They weren't 18. They weren't working at McDonald's. That was amazing. She broke through. She got into their hearts in this boys' club. It amazes me with her wit, just her wit. Some of the most quoted, and there were some writers in this group at the Algonquin, and so these would go out to magazines and papers. Some of her best quotes, the ones that the guys admired most, one of them was this one. She said, all right, God, send me to hell. You think you're frightening me with your hell? Don't you? You think your hell is worse than mine? And that's cool. That's cool. I never thought of that. I mean, I never thought of that. I should have, but I never did. Informed that the marvelous, wonderful Claire Booth Luce was invariably kind to her inferiors, Dorothy remarked, and where does she find them? That's a cool one. I'm sorry. And she had one that was wrong. And it was, she said, I'm never going to accomplish anything that's perfectly clear to me. I'm never going to be famous. My name will never be writ large on roster of those who do things. I don't do anything, not a single thing. I used to bite my nails, but I don't even do that anymore. She was wrong about that one. She said, and I mean, she said this in 1922 in one of her famous stories, which was called Women Know Everything. She wrote heterosexuality isn't normal. It's just common. It's so beautiful. Seriously. That she would say that back then and get away with it. Just because she was clever. That's how she did it. She didn't spare anyone. She said once at the Algonquin, pointing with her little finger because she was tiny, which is cool too. She was really tiny. She said, that woman over there, she speaks 18 languages and can't say no in any of them. That's funny. Her best line ever, eat my dust. She was a very tough critic. Of books, she got in a lot of trouble. But when she liked the book, everyone knew it was a good book. But still, she, a lot of dead textbooks and books around. So one of them, one of her most famous was about this novel. And she said, this is a novel. This is not a novel to be tossed lightly. It should be thrown with great force. That's amazing. She was a huge supporter of the civil rights movement. And she hated the super rich. She had some social commentaries. One was, if you want to know what God thinks of money, just look at the people he gave it to. Another, this was after a riot. She said, this wasn't just plain terrible. This was fancy terrible. This was terrible with raisins in it. She had terrible luck in the love department, and she tried very hard. She had two awful marriages. She had awful affairs. She had awful apartments. Everything she had was awful. She had awful taste in clothes. She had awful taste in interior decorating. She had awful taste in food. She drank, well, she knew how to ask for a good Manhattan, so I'll give her that. So she said in the love department, she could be funny. She said, brevity is the soul of lingerie. But this one's kind of sad. She said, ducking for apples, change one letter, and it's the story of my life. Ducking for apples. Then she said, beauty is only skin deep, but ugly goes to the dirty bone. She became very famous for all of her horrible affairs. F. Scott Fitzgerald, I mean, the list goes on and on. But one of them that she really fell for was Charles MacArthur. And he wrote a play that became, excuse me, His Girl Friday. This part makes me sad. She had with him an unwanted pregnancy. She quipped, she must have been really drunk when she did this. She quipped, how like me to put all my eggs in one bastard. Anyway, she had a secret abortion followed by a secret suicide attempt. She had a small beating heart that nobody really understood. There were clues, though. She wrote a lot of poems. She kind of ideated on suicide. One of them was called Enough Rope, but there were many stories of waiting by the phone, and she was so womanlike and yet accepted by men and creative, and she's just amazing. Anyway, she actually didn't die of suicide. She died of a heart attack at 73 on June 7th, 1967. She said there was one honest line about her life. She said a lot of things they said at the Algonquin were just show-offy. But I think she just said that later on in life. But there's one that she really loved that she said. And she said, this is life for you. You spend the best years of your life studying penmanship and rhetoric and syntax and Beowulf and George Eliot, and then somebody steals your pencil. She said the definition of eternity was two people and a ham. She didn't get that. She bequeathed her entire estate to Martin Luther King, a man she had never met. And then when he died, it was to be given to the NAACP. Now this surprised me. The executor of her will was Lillian Hellman. Yes, that Lillian Hellman, Julia and all that. I'm gonna look her up and we're gonna do one on her. Anyway, this really upset me. Lillian Hellman bitterly but unsuccessfully contested the deposition. She wanted the money. I gotta find out. Well, I did. I looked it up. Lillian Hellman thought Dr. King was a pompous stuffed shirt and didn't think much of the NAACP. Not my words. It's horrible. That's what she did. She wanted to keep the money for herself. And then, just out of spite, pure spite, she wouldn't allow any of Dorothy's poems or works to be performed, put into plays or movies, because the money wasn't going to go to her. She had it all planned how she was going to make money off all this stuff. And because she wasn't going to get it, she wouldn't let anybody else touch it. That's how much I hate her. Lillian Hellman sucks. So, that's just awful. Anyway, the worst part of this story is that Lillian Hellman's ashes were unwanted for 17 years and spent 15 of those years in her lawyer's filing cabinet. So, finally, somebody cared. But you know what? I don't think that would have bothered her. I really don't. Excuse my dust. I think she would have actually thought that was funny. But what happened was, one good thing, she was claimed. One bad thing is, she's in Baltimore. But one very, very good thing is, the NAACP spent a lot of money and built a beautiful garden and put her urn in there. And they have beautiful words to say about her, about the bond between Black and Jewish people. And it's been dedicated to her, and it's completely taken care of. And that's a nice ending for Dorothy. It's a nice ending, Dorothy, and now you're home. So there it is, Dorothy Parker and Lillian Hellman. I'm going to get to the bottom of that. That's going to happen real soon. You are one piece of work. So anyway, I'm going to go now and, you know, subscribe. Let me know you care. And, you know, I'm going to do one on Carrie Fisher too, because she is great. So many wonderful little vignettes about her, little stories. She was so clever. She was so generous, such a good person, just like Dorothy, not Lillian. So anyway, who knew? Who knew? I didn't love Lillian Hellman, but I had no idea that anybody could be such a jerk. So we'll talk soon. I gotta go, and thanks for listening. Bye-bye.